Let me give you a word of testimony. I walk life's road with an easy tread, had followed where comforts and pleasures led, till one day, in a quiet place, I met the Master face to face. With station and rank and wealth for my goal, much stock for my body, but none for my soul, I had entered to win life's mad race when I met the Master face to face. I met him and I knew him, and I blushed to see that his eyes, filled with sorrow, were fixed upon me. And I faltered and fell at his feet that day while my castles melted and vanished away. Melted and vanished, and in their place naught else could I see but the Master's face. And I cried out loud, "Oh, make me meet to walk in the steps of thy wondrous feet." My thought is now for the souls of men. You see, I lost my life to find it again. Ere since that day in that quiet place when I met the Master face to face. He's a wonderful Savior. And I love him today more than I did yesterday, and I want to love him more tomorrow. Proverbs 26, I know most of you didn't bring your Bibles. You read along if you will. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Moreover, Paul said in Corinthians, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. What we need in our churches more than ever before today is faithfulness. Old-fashioned dependability. Old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, your best ability is dependability. And that's the truth. But what is faithfulness? Is it just coming to church and occupying a pew? Listen to the message? Oh, no. We see it throughout the Word of God. Faithfulness is Moses, when he was come to years, refusing to suffer affliction with the people of God. That's faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Well, faithfulness is old Job sitting in that ash heap, scratching his old sore body. He's lost everything. His wife even don't want you to just curse God and die. Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Bible says, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. That's faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Well, faithfulness is Ruth, that little Moabite maid, coming with her mother-in-law Naomi to the border of Israel and Moab, refusing to go back to her heathen gods, saying to her mother-in-law, whither thou goest, I will go. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. She went on into Israel with her mother-in-law, met Boaz, and got into the lineage of Christ. That's faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Well, faithfulness is Peter and John standing before the dead Sanhedrin in fear of their lives. They've been told, if you preach in his name, we're going to kill you. And they said, kill us if you will. But we cannot help but speak the things which we've seen and heard. Now that's faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Well, faithfulness is D.L. Moody. We bring it up today a little bit. Moody was the greatest soul winner probably ever lived. Some ladies came to Moody one time and said, Mr. Moody, why do you preach so hard for people to be saved? Don't you know the world's getting to be a better place to live in? About like today. Moody said, I picture the world as a wrecked vessel, drawing nearer and nearer to destruction And God gave me a lifeboat and said, here, Moody, save all you can. And he won 1 million souls to Christ. That's faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Well, faithfulness, old C.T. Studd, he made a statement that's unparalleled outside the Word of God. Ask him why he went so hard. He said, if Jesus Christ be God, and he died for me, then there's no sacrifice too great for me to make for him. Now, I may never be what I wish to end up being for Christ, but I want to be found faithful. I want to stand before him and say, well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. See, faithfulness is something every one of us has. The ability to perform. We can be found faithful. I was talking to you, Pastor, there's so many friends of mine, many of them, who didn't finish well. I ask people to pray for me all the time. Now I'm getting where I'm not finished anyway. But I want to finish well. I want to finish well. I want to run my race with patience. I want to finish well for Christ. This was found in John Wesley's journal. My remnant of days I spend to his praise, who died the whole world to redeem. Be they many or few, my days are his due, and they all are devoted to him. We can all be faithful. Now, first of all, I'm going to give you 3 or 4 points. I'm going to do them rapidly, if I can. We ought to be faithful, first of all, to Christ. I beseech you, 12:1, Romans, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He saved us when we didn't deserve to be saved. He keeps us, although we fail him every day. He has a right. He has a right to our faithfulness. And what's Paul saying? I beseech you to present your body as a living sacrifice. He's simply saying we were dead in trespasses and sins, and Jesus gave us life. Shouldn't we use that life for him? It's our reasonable service. He said we were blinded. Sin, as it were, gouged out the eyes of our souls and left them in darkness. And here we are. When Jesus fixed our eyesight, we can see all the way into heaven. Shouldn't we use those eyes to read the Word of God and look for sinners? We were crippled by a fall. When Adam fell, he crippled the whole human race. But Christ, the second Adam, came and set our feet on the solid rock and established our goings. Shouldn't we use those feet to walk in the steps of his wondrous feet? That's our reasonable service. We should say, here are my eyes, Lord. Use them to look for sinners. Use them to read the Word of God. I went to see a man in the hospital. A woman called me. Sweet lady. Ladies have real sweet hearts for people who need Christ. She said, I want you to go see this man. He's my brother or nephew. Said, go see him. Said, he needs Jesus in his heart. He's in Veterans Hospital. I said, I'll be glad to go see him. She told me where he was, told me his name. I went out to Veterans Hospital. Had my assistant pastor with me. Yeah. Terry, I'm going to tell you and Steve Berman remind me of each other. Of course, Steve was glad to be there. He never had anything to offer, just glad he's there. And I was glad he's there because he's fun to be with. Steve, I said, I usually carry my New Testament in my pocket. I didn't have it. And I know the plan of salvation, I said, but you know, you want the man getting it out of the Bible, not just out of it. Anyway, we looked all over Veterans Hospital and couldn't find a Bible. I said, well, I'll use my billfold. He won't know the difference. So I got to his room, and I introduced myself, shook his hand. He's sitting in a chair. And I said, can I show you what God says you have to do to be saved? He said, sure. I said, good. Boy, you can be saved yet to realize you're lost. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Across the page it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I said, you're a sinner. Oh, he said, I know that. I said, good. Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, for with he loved us, even when we were dead, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. I said, God loves you. He said, he does. I said, sure he does. Died for you on the cross. He said, wonderful. I said, let me show you what you have to do to be saved. Romans 10:9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Says again, for with the heart man believeth in the righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And down here it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, wouldn't you like to trust Christ? I want to tell him, first of all, that I was a little bit smarter than most, and I knew something about the Bible. I said, now, he says, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. You may use this sometime. By the way, as you witness, it's a good thing to use. I said, how do you believe with your heart? You don't believe with your heart, you believe with your head. Isn't that correct? But the Greek word for believe is pisteuo. It means to trust in, to rely on, to cling to. I said, for instance, I believe that chair will hold me up. I believe it here. But I got to believe it with my heart for it'll hold me up. So I have to move that belief from here to here. And I do that by trusting it. I said, where you are, if you believe it, oh, I believe that all my life. You might believe it here, but you've got to move it to your heart. Jesus didn't say that just for me saying it. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. I said, wouldn't you like to trust him today? He said, I sure would. We bowed our heads. I led him in the sinner's prayer. He asked Jesus to come into his heart. Touched him as his Savior. Old Steve and I were walking out. I said, Steve, you can do it to your billfold. Hide God's word in your heart. You can do it to your billfold. God hears the prayer of a man who wants to be saved. Got back to the church. I called the lady. I told her that whole story. I was rejoicing about that. She was dead silent. I said, oh, I used the word God. I just didn't have it in my hand. She said, Dr. Box, I don't know how to tell you this. I said, tell it. She said, he's blind. It didn't make it. It's bad enough me trying to fool him with my billfold, but I sat up and down that chair three or four times. You know what I said? Hear my eyes, may they look for sinners. Hear my eyes, may they read the Word of God. We ought to be loyal, first of all, to Christ. Then we ought to be loyal to Christ's church. And faithfulness to Christ's church means with everything you have. You know, we shouldn't even have hand these things out, preacher. We shouldn't even have this. It's this automatic thing. If everybody, and I'm not going to preach on stewardship, he'll do that. He does it all the time anyway. I know he does it. If everybody would do what God told them to do in the Word of God, we wouldn't ever have to have a stewardship campaign or raise anything. That God would have it. See, he said, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. You know where giving comes from? The heart. If your heart's right about it, you'll have. And you're great givers over here. I wish I'd have had you open my church. I'd be trying to get you if I still had that church. I love him, but not that much. the Sunday morning crowd gets smaller Sunday night. Now we've got things now. I know you're not doing it. It's just hard now to even have a church. Now, as Lee Robertson used to say, 3 to 5. Yeah, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. Now they say, well, what about Bible study? Well, that's Sunday school to me. I don't know how long we quit Sunday school. I like it. Yeah. Southern Baptists taught it to us. Sunday school. Giving. All these things are just synonymous with being a Christian. It's what we do. Faithful to Christ. Faithful to Christ Church. I was over in London with Lee Robertson and Jacob Gardenhouse. We had come back from the Holy Land in 1976. I heard a story. We went to Spurgeon's Tabernacle. They didn't have this many on Wednesday night. Pitiful. But they told me about an old church over there, St. Paul's Cathedral. Some of you guys are old enough to know something about World War II. Makes me feel archaic or ancient. But anyway, Hitler was sending those V-2 rockets over. They're called the buzz bombs. They'd come from Europe. When they'd get over London, they'd run out of fuel and just fall. They didn't know. Had no guidance system. They just come to London and fall. And they would, when the siren would go off, all those people who lived in the city of London would run to those underground shelters. That is, all of them except the members of that old church. It was a beautiful edifice, beautiful church. They'd grab their buckets and their hoses, and amid all that chaos and the bombs falling and people screaming and people being killed over here, they'd run down that old church and wet it down to try to keep it from burning. They loved it so much. They told me that story. I said, would to God we loved our church that much. Would to God we loved old Worth that much. And that we wouldn't wet it down, but we'd set it aglow for God, on fire for God. If he would say, hey, old Willie Weaver's doing something different up there. It's burning up for God. Faithfulness to the church. Okay. Faithfulness to Christ, faithfulness to Christ Church, faithfulness to Christ's cause. Jesus said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the cause of Christ. And Paul, speaking to the ministry, said, for this cause we faint not. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to God that Paul didn't faint concerning the cause. He took it to Rome, it got over to England, it got over to this country. And by the grace of God, a little preacher told me about it. And I received Christ as my Savior. Because somebody's faithful to the cause. I had a class of 12-year-old boys, the first ministry I had. Old Bob Keyes called me. I hadn't been saved 3 weeks, I don't think. He said, listen, won't you take this class of 12-year-old boys? I said, where am I going to take them? I didn't know what he's talking about. He said, listen, you need to teach this class of 12-year-old boys. Now, that was a terrible mistake. I didn't even like them. And he said, well, you can do it. I said, well, okay, I'll do it. He could talk you into anything. So, every Sunday, I'll verify it with my wife, every Sunday I quit. I tell Betty, I'm telling him today, I'm leaving the church if I have to do this anymore. And now, you know, wife, Betty's a God bless you person. Oh, God bless you. She wouldn't help you now. I said, that's okay. I'm quitting. God bless you. But then it happened. A little boy came in. I never will forget him. His name was Alvin Caldwell. Alvin was 12 years old. His hair had never been combed in his entire life. It had Two cowlicks in the front and two in the back. It just stuck up. His shirt tail never was completely in. But every time he'd show up, he just lit the room up with his countenance, his smile, which is beautiful. And I loved him. I kept telling Daddy, hurry up, we got to go to Sunday school. She said, I thought you didn't like it. I said, I like Alvin. So I went, I don't know if you know anything about Dallas, but on 10th Street in Dallas, there used to be tenement houses all up and down there, you know. They always knocked the bulbs out of the ceiling so you couldn't turn the light on so you wouldn't see the bugs. They wouldn't come out unless light came on, then they'd go in everywhere, you know. I climbed three flights of stairs and found Alvin's apartment. He had told me to come by and see his mother. He lived with his mother. His daddy was a drunkard and they were separated. So I came knocking on the door. I said, I'll get to lead her to Christ. She said, come on in. He's not here right now. It was about this time of the year. It was cold, although we had it warm today, but it was cold. So I came in. I witnessed to her. She said she had been saved when she was a girl, but that she had gotten away. She was coming back. But she said, Alvin wants to talk to you now. So I sat down to wait, and I waited about 30 minutes. And I said, I have to go, but I'll come back by and see him again. So I went to the door, and as I opened the door, there he stood. He'd just gotten home. He didn't have a shirt on. His mother was washing that shirt. He wore that shirt the next day to school. And so he was out playing without a shirt on. Well, body was cold. I jerked him inside, and he said, you told me that Jesus would save me. And Alvin and I knelt on the floor there, and I went through the plan of salvation with him, and oh, Alvin received Christ as his Savior. I never will forget that night, because I stood up and I said, you know how we do? We try to get them come Sunday. You know, I want you to come Sunday now. Don't you let me down. You come Sunday. And he pointed his finger at me. He said, I'll be there. And they're indignant with him. So I said, okay. So I left. Sunday morning, I got up. Ben and I went to church. I got my 12-year-old boys. Except Alvin didn't show up. I said, no way he could just lay out. He got killed or something. Something happened to him. So I had Sunday school and went into church, and I looked for him. He didn't show up. At the end of the service, we were given the invitation. I was standing down front, and I saw him come in the doors back here. His shirt tail was out all the way around. Of course, that hair wasn't any different. Just sticking up all over his head. And I was chiding him when he got done. I said, what were you been? He said, I told you I'd be here. He made his profession, got baptized, started coming. I found out why he missed that night, or missed that morning. Saturday night, evening was his daddy's time to have him. And he picked him up. He went to Garland, nearly all the way to Garland. Garland, about 15 miles from Dallas, I think, from over there. Maybe 15. And he started going from bar to bar, getting drunk, and he'd leave Alvin in the car. Alvin said, if I'm going to go to church, I better start now. And he started walking. He walked all night until he got so tired he couldn't walk anymore, and he found a car that was unlocked, and he got inside. The sun woke him up the next morning. That's when he was late. I told that story everywhere I went. I thought it was wonderful. Well, Alvin moved to Garland. His mother moved to Garland. He moved to Garland with her, and he went to school out there. I started my church a short time later, and I was pastoring that church, and I got a call one day from one of the deacons that was over at Galilee. He said, you heard about Alvin? I said, Lord, he didn't get in trouble, did he? He said, no, sir, he's dead. 15 years old. I said, what happened? He said he went out in the stock tank trying to get a biology specimen and he drowned. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I can be a crybaby sometimes too, I guess, but I left my church and I started home and I began to cry. I couldn't help it. And I had to pull over to the side of the road because I could see that hair. You ever reason with God? I began to reason with the Lord. I said, well, he, I don't know why he had to die so young. He never had a home. God said, he got one now. I said, but he never had a daddy to love him, show him anything. He said, he got one there. Jesus picked that little boy up in his arms and took him to heaven. I'll see him again one day. Of course, that hair will still be up all over his head. Even the Lord Jesus couldn't do anything about that hair. Well, I thank God. Just because of that one, and there are many like it, I was faithful to the cause. Faithful to Christ, he deserves our faithfulness. Faithful to the church, it's the only institution he established on this earth, and it's the only one he's going to take from this earth to heaven. God help us to be faithful to it. No, I have to beg you for your money or your time or your talent. It's his. Give it to him. And faithful to your captain. Not the captain of your salvation, but the captain of this place is a little guy sitting here. And he's a good one. Thank God for you, preacher. Pray for him every day. He's captain of the ship. You know, people usually want to talk about the preacher some way. He does something wrong. I told your pastor, this is the God's truth. I'm all over the world, and I'll mention his name. They said, what a wonderful guy. I said, well, I don't think so. You know, they just, that's all they say. What a wonderful guy. You're fortunate. Pray for him. Follow him. Be faithful where he leads you, because he's going to lead you toward the cross and toward heaven. That's what this meeting's about. That's what church is about. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Well, I do my part. But a faithful man, who can find? God's looking for a man. God's looking for a woman. God's looking for a young person. Not one with great ability, but one with great dependability. One who will be found faithful. He does not lead me year by year, nor even day by day, but step by step, my path unfolds. My Lord directs my way. Tomorrow's plans I do not know. I only know this minute. But he will say, this is the way. By faith, now walk ye in it. And I'm glad that it's so. Well, today's enough to bear. And when tomorrow comes, his grace shall far exceed its care. What need to worry then or fret? The God who gave his Son holds all your moments in his hands, and he gives them one by one. Be faithful. Thank you.